I told Damon a while ago, when I first got here, that I'm going to have to do it the old-fashioned way this morning. I run off and left my memory stick, and I was a ways from the house when it dawned on me, and I deemed I didn't have enough time to go back and get it, so I apologize for that. It's amazing how accustomed we get to technology and ways of doing things, and I'm probably one of the world's worst, or the world's best, however you want to look at it, as far as being methodical. Getting in a certain way of doing things and just do it that same way over and over and over and over. It's been a while since I've done a lesson like this, but I'm confident that we can get through it. This morning, for the time that we have together, we're going to be talking about when Christians experience afflictions. There's a lot of synonyms that I suppose we could string out under the idea of affliction, problems, troubles, heartaches, etc. And in the setting that we're in our country today, and there's I'm sure a lot of people that are experiencing afflictions and problems and adversities, at least in the area of economics, but. Whether we are in an area that we are plagued with things that are not going well in the area of economics, we still find ourselves being bothered and being troubled with adversities and afflictions and problems. And the Lord spoke on this quite frequently. The apostles wrote about it quite frequently and spoke on it. And so it's a very common subject in the New Testament. To kind of get us started off, I want us to look at particularly James 1 and verse 2. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience." And we'll let it rely or lay there at this particular time. As we think about a purpose for our lesson, why is it necessary to talk about this particular subject? Well, to remind us that we will all experience these problems. Every person that has ever become a Christian has experienced afflictions. I am confident that we can say without hesitancy that every one of us here who are Christians, we have experienced afflictions. We have experienced adversity, problems, difficulties, simply because we're Christians. We're not like the world. We're not like our friends. We're not like the people we go to school with. We're not like the neighbor that we live next door to. We're not like the person that we deal with at Walmart or at the grocery store or at the mechanic shop or wherever it is. We're not like them. And I'm not saying this in a way to put them down, but it brings home to us in a very loud, clear way what Paul said in a way of encouragement to the Colossian brethren. We have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. There's two kingdoms in this world. Only two kingdoms in this world. It's the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. And every human being is in one or the other of those two kingdoms. And if we've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, we're going to have problems with the kingdom of the world. Had a preacher friend. He said things in a very hard, blunt way. And when he talked about marriage and divorce, particularly marriage, and if he's talking to young people and trying to encourage them not to marry a child of the devil, he said, "You marry a child of the devil and you're going to have trouble with your father-in-law." And that is just as true can be. And but it's true also when I become a child of God, I'm still going to have trouble with the devil. I'm going to have the trouble with the one that's ruling that world. And so, to remind us that we're going to experience that. If we view them correctly, we will come out of them better. I don't think any of us we were asked, do you want to experience heartache, troubles, afflictions, difficulties? I just doubt if any of us would raise our hand and say, yes, I do. But you know what, brethren? If we face those things, and when we face them, we're going to face them. When we face those things in the proper way, as God would have us to face, we're going to come out of it a better person. We're not only going to come out of them a better person, we're going to come out of them with a stronger faith. Maybe that's included in the better person that I just alluded to. But we're going to come out of it in a much better way as far as spiritual matters are concerned. As we think about afflictions, how do we define afflictions? Well, word study people defines it as a pressing upon, as pressure of circumstances, as anything causing pain or distress. Things that pressure us. When we become a Christian, Satan is going to put pressure on us. This pressure is going to come from family, it's going to come from friends, it's going to come from circumstances, it's going to come from all kinds of directions. That's just the nature of those kinds of things. We'll notice one passage of Scripture that I think probably illustrates this. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 8, Paul said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Paul is talking about himself and some others that's with him. And he says, this is the way we are. We are troubled. We are distressed, but they're not overwhelming us. They're not getting on top of us. And so when we're thinking about afflictions, we're thinking about that which comes pressing upon us, comes boring in upon us. We're talking about the pressure of circumstances. We're talking about those things that causes us pain and distress. And the pain and distress, probably more times than not, has to do with our mental attitude, our mental way of thinking and looking at things. When we think about a Christian, how would you define a Christian? Well, I wrote down here a very simple simple definition, and I want us to listen to what we're saying when we give this definition. Christian is one who is serving the Lord Jesus Christ. The key word in that definition is serving. Serving. Over in Matthew chapter 6, I believe it is, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus, in talking to his disciples, made this observation as he spoke to them. No man can serve two masters. He will hold one and despise the other, love one and, well, let me back up and read it. I'm botching that. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, hold one or despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve two masters at the same time. We can't do it. These people in the first century, they understood that. They understood the slave-master relationship a whole lot better than I understand it. All I understand it is reading as to the way it functioned. These people understood it because, so we're told, 80% of the Christians in the first century were slaves. They understood it from an experimental standpoint. And they understood that you can't slave for two masters. You don't have but one master. Now, he may be a good master, he may be a bad master, but you've got one master. And you have to slave for that one master. And so the key word when we think about Christian is service. Serving that one. The Apostle Peter said over in 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in his behalf. Is it possible that a man's going to have to, or a person, is going to have to suffer because they're a Christian? Not because they're a bad person. They're not a murderer. They're not a thief. They're not a liar, they're not a cheat, they're not a steal, those kinds of people. But simply because they're a Christian. And Peter says, if any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this behalf. The disciples were called Christians, so we're told in Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, they were first called Christians in Antioch. Okay, that hopefully will get us in the ballpark as to what we're talking about this morning, afflictions of Christians. As we look at some observations next about afflictions, we've already touched on this, at least part of the ones that we have listed here. That is, every Christian will have them. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. That's just the nature of our relationship with God, living in a world that's ruled by the devil. We're going to have them. There's no ifs, ands, and buts, and maybes about it. When afflictions come, don't be surprised. You know, we talk about things blindsiding us today. Things that comes upon us, and we didn't think about it happening, we didn't see it coming, and it just showed up. We get blindsided by it. Don't get blindsided by afflictions. They're going to happen, so let's not be surprised when those things happen. Why would we think that we're going to be any different than our master? Think of the afflictions, think of the problems, think of the adversities that our Lord went through. And if they treated the Lord that way, who am I to think that I'm not going to receive that? So that's another one of those things. How we deal with afflictions will affect others. Let me say this, and those that's going to be the most affected by the way I deal with afflictions is going to be my family. If my children are at home, they're going to be affected by it. It's going to affect my wife. Now, it may affect other people. I've been at Southside for now 21 years, and there's some of those people that don't remember when I wasn't around. And the way I deal with things affects them possibly. And then it just has ripples out. But one thing that I know, and I know from experimental experiences, it affects your children. It affects your wife. You know, when church problems occur, when adversities come, sometimes parents will say, well, I don't know how it's going to affect my children. I'll tell you how it's going to affect your children. It's going to affect them the same way it affected you. If you show strength, if you show faith, if you show determination, if you show solidity, that child is going to be right there with you. It's going to be that way. I am convinced of that. And so that's something that we need to think about. How we deal with afflictions will affect others. The depth of our faith will be determined as to how we handle the afflictions. How will I handle them? How much faith do I have in God's Word? When was the last time I tried to rehearse situations? The wife was talking with our daughter some time ago about a situation. And as we had talked with her about that, our daughter said, Mama, have you rehearsed that? Now, I've never heard it used that way. And what she meant, have you really sat down and played this thing out like you're thinking about and what you're thinking about doing? And where you're going to go, these kinds of, have you rehearsed that? Well, I need to do some rehearsing in my life as a Christian. When afflictions come my way, when problems come my way, I need to rehearse how I'm going to deal with those things. The depth of my faith will determine how I handle those afflictions. And by the way, it can be educational to me also. It can let me know how deep my faith is, how strong my faith is. Okay, just some observations about this. Now, the next thing that we want to do, and that is to just look at a summary of Paul's afflictions. You know, the Lord suffered a lot while he was here. The Apostle Paul, probably we have more record. I'm not saying that he suffered more, but I'm just suggesting that we probably have more record of Paul's afflictions than any others. Over in 2 Corinthians, probably all of us think about this passage when we think of the afflictions of Paul. And we'll read through these just very hurriedly. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through verse 28. Paul said, and he's talking about these people, false teachers and people that are giving him problems. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, and deaths often. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was a stone, thrice I suffered shipwreck, the night and the day in the deep. I have I've been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, perils of robbers, perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger, thirst, fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which comes upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Now, that is a catalog or a list or a summary of things Paul has suffered as a Christian from the time he became a Christian till the time he wrote 2 Corinthians. Now, Paul lived a good while after he wrote 2 Corinthians. And there are things, there are afflictions that we read about him suffering after this particular bit. I call your attention to Acts chapter 21, verse 28, through chapter 4, verse 27, and we're not going to read that whole section, but I would encourage you to read that. Paul has, he's made up the collection for the poor saints in the city of Jerusalem, in Corinth and in Galatia's, and possibly other congregations as well, but those are mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 1 and 2. As I gave order to the churches of Galatia, even so do you upon the first day of the week lay by in store as the Lord has prospered, etc. And then in the 2 Corinthian letter, Paul tells them how they're to go about it and that kind of thing. Well, that's been done. And so now he's on his way back to the city of Jerusalem to take these funds back there. When he arrives in the city, he is arrested. And they're about to pull him apart or kill him. When the Roman government steps in and they take over and they free him and they bring him, and Paul speaks to the crowd, and then his nephew learns of a plot against Saul or Paul to kill him, and so they take him from Jerusalem and they take him down to Caesarea and they put him turn him over to the authorities down there and put him in jail down there to hold him, and he's there for 2 years. And while he's there, Felix thinks that he can get a bribe out of Paul so that in order to turn him loose. But my point is, he is experiencing that. He is experiencing 2 years of confinement. He is experiencing threats against his own life. He is experiencing having to deal with this ungodly Felix while he's there. That kind of thing. And then, as he goes to the city of Rome, he is in a shipwreck to get to Rome. And so he's experiencing these kinds of things. Now then, that gives us another thing that we can add to what he's talked about in 2 Corinthians 11. And there's something to add to those things that we have talked about. Turn over to the book of Philippians. In the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul has this to say. He is writing to the church in Philippi, and he is commending them for sending a gift, letting them know how he's doing, those kinds of things. And so he says in verse 15, some indeed preach Christ, even of the envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. Now, how are the people doing, and how is he faring in the city of Rome as a prisoner? Well, some are preaching Christ, even of envy and strife. Some are preaching of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. Can you imagine a brother in Christ preaching the unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ just to make my life miserable? Now that's what Paul was experiencing in Rome. Here were people that were members of the body of Christ, but they hated Paul, who was a brother in Christ, and they were preaching just to make his life miserable, or more miserable. And so he experienced those things. Later on, in 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul, and this is a very familiar passage of Scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 4, 6 through 8, "For I am now ready to be offered, the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not for me only, but all them that love his appearing." Now then, he is to the point that he knows that he's going to be killed. He knows he's going to be executed, and that his life on this earth is very short. And so that gives us just a little summary of what this man went through just because he's a Christian. He's not speaking against the Roman government. He's not leading to speak against the Roman government. Okay. What are some possible afflictions for you and me? You know, I can look into the New Testament and I can find places where Paul suffered. And probably if we wrote a life of, a biography of our life, we could look into your work or your life, and yeah, here's where they suffered because they were Christians. But just what are some possibilities? As Christians, again, we can expect we may lose our job. Now, we may lose our job, not necessarily because we're a Christian, just because the economy went kaput. We may lose our job. This causes stress on the family. This causes strain on the individual. This causes strain on how we're going to eat. It causes problems. It can be a distraction to us. We understand that. But now how am I going to deal with that as a Christian? Jesus said, "Seek me first, and these things shall be added unto you." Is he going to take care of me? He's promised me he's going to take care of me. But do I believe that? Do I function with that faith and confidence? We may lose our life. Lots of people lost their life in the first century because they were Christians. Oh, they can't do that to us. You know, some of those people in the first century may have thought that also. We can lose our lives just because we're a Christian. That's adversity. If I'm given the choice whether to live or die, what will I take? There will be friends that we have to give up. When we obey the gospel, young people definitely has to understand this. When you obey the gospel, your value system changes from your friends at school and the people that you run with. Your value system changes. Well, maybe it will. No. When we come out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, our value systems change. In all probability, your friends at school are being ruled by Satan. You're being ruled by the Lord Jesus Christ. Your value systems couldn't be farther apart. And so, we have to choose between the Lord and our friends. We will have to choose between family and Christ. He that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Luke says, he that loves husband and wife more than me is not worthy of me. Would that be an affliction? Would that be a pressure? Well, I don't know about you, but it would me. I would feel that pressure. I have to make that choice. Those are some possible afflictions for us. We may be afflicted because we're not politically correct. We live in a society today where same-sex marriages, homosexuality, those things are so prevalent, and it's going to get worse before it gets better, if it gets better. This is something else young people have to face. You may have friends caught up in it. You may have relatives caught up in it. You may have whoever caught up in it. We may lose our religious freedom. You know, this is one of the things that this country's boasted about for all these years. We may lose that. That can be a pressure. Those are things that we can suffer. Well, what was Paul's view of afflictions? How does Paul view afflictions? How does he view hard times? Paul's afflictions are inconsequential when compared to what he was preparing himself for. To Paul, it just really didn't matter what happened to him in this world. The only thing that Paul wanted to continue to live for was to spread the word, to spread the gospel, preach the Lord Jesus Christ. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, notice what the Apostle Paul says as he writes concerning this particular matter. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The part of that verse I want us to look at right now is, how did Paul look at affliction when he wrote that letter? He said, for our light affliction, our light trouble. What all had he suffered? Think with me, if you would, just real quickly, forward to chapter 11. When he talked about, he gave us a list, he cataloged for us all the things that he had suffered. Paul looked upon his suffering later in life. How did he look upon that? Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but all them that love his appearing. What's it preparing him for? To be with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it was. The weight of Paul's afflictions are light when compared to the length of time they're going to last. How long can they punish me? Well, look at the latter part of verse 17. He had said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, it works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. In comparison to eternity, it's not even as long as the blink of an eye. It's not even as long as the crack of a shot. The reason Paul can view his afflictions as he does. How can he do that? Look at verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. That's why. He realized that what he was looking at here on this earth, it was going to be quick and rapidly taken away. Yeah, the world's still standing, but in comparison to the length of eternity, it is absolutely nothing. Over in Philippians chapter 1, again, in Philippians chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, what then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or truth, Christ is preached. And I therefore do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and through the supply of the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. How could Paul view afflictions, we would say, so calm and collected and so matter-of-factly? How could he view these things that way? He understood where he was going. He understood what salvation was all about. Now then, can we view afflictions as Paul did? Damon and I had a conversation a while ago after the class talking about how, what good is our understanding God's Word if I can't put myself in it? If I can't get some application for it? Knew a preacher, an older preacher, several years ago. And when he talked about preaching a sermon, he said, every lesson has to have a so what. What's the so what of a lesson is how can I apply it? What good is it for me? That's the so what. Yes, I can. Yes, we can view it as Paul did. We can expect affliction. Understand that. We can expect those. They will happen. They will come. Look with me, if you would, to the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 6 through 7. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, or corrects, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if we be without chastisement, whereof are partakers, then we are illegitimate and not sons. Every one of us that have had children, we have chastened them. We have corrected them. Adonis and Alicia, our two children, they were no different. And when we talk about chastening, when we talk about disciplining, we're not talking about just all corporal punishment. We're not talking about just spank, 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 spank. We corrected them. You know, I don't know if I've told y'all this, but if I have, well, just bear with me. My dad, I can remember my dad spanking me one time in my bringing up. And that was for sitting on his hat. But I knew, and it was the same way with the other siblings. He wasn't whooping on us all the time. But we knew when he spoke, we better listen. Now, how did he get that through to us? He got it through at a very early age, very young age. Did he chasten us? Emphatically, yes. I've often said he could burn the hair off your head with one glance of those blue eyes. When he spoke, we knew to listen. He chastened us. He corrected us. Every father that loves his children will do that. Maybe not like Dad did, but they will correct. Over in 1 Peter chapter 4, in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Can I expect afflictions? Yes. Can I come through them like Paul did? Yes. Yes, we can endure them like Paul did by looking at afflictions as Paul looked at them. How did he look at afflictions? Well, let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, notice what Paul is saying to these individuals. In chapter 12, verses 9 through 10, And he said unto me, Paul has, this is in the context of Paul experiencing the thorn in the flesh. Whatever that was, we don't know, but he had asked the Lord three times to take that away from him, and the Lord said, no. And so that picks us up with verse 9. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And now then, Paul's response was, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses, in Christ, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am made strong. Can I do that? Yes. When I face those afflictions like Paul faced them, what will they do for me? Yes, by allowing eternity to dominate our attention. Turn back to the fourth chapter of this same letter. In verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What am I looking at when I go while I'm going through this life? What am I looking at from Monday through Sunday? What am I looking at now? What will I be looking at in the morning? What will I be looking at on Tuesday morning? What will I be looking at all the rest of my life while I live here on this earth? What am I looking for? What am I looking at? Oh, how I can retire. I'd just like to have a motor home and I can just travel here and there, and I want this and I want that. Or am I thinking about going to heaven? Well, what was Paul dominated with? Paul's domination was, but the things which are not seen, they are eternal. Paul said, all the problems that I'm having in this life, they are here, they are temporal, they are short-lived. But things I don't see, these things are eternal. In Colossians chapter 3, what did Paul say? If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of this earth. For we're dead, and our life is hid with Christ in God. Can we view afflictions as Paul did? Yes, by giving ourselves over to Jesus Christ. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Have I brought myself to that point? Am I to that point? As Paul writes to the Philippians, in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 8, what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. You know, as far as we know, Paul, some think that he was headed for a seat on the Sanhedrin. Some think that he was already there. And that would be like one of the judges in the highest court of our land, the Supreme Court of the United States, being a judge on that seat. That's where the Sanhedrin, that's kind of our, what the Sanhedrin would be comparable to would be the Supreme Court. And Paul, some thinks he was there, some thinks he was headed for that. But he said, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung or refuse, that I may win Christ. How did Paul look at things of this life? Just keep soul and body together. I'm just passing through. If I have to give it up, so be it. That was his attitude. then we face afflictions as Paul did. What are the effects of afflictions? Afflictions can be spiritually profitable. You know, I don't know what you're going to face. I don't know what these young people are going to face. I don't even know what I'm going to face. But I know one thing. The way I face them can be spiritually profitable. The way I face them can be eternally damning. So I better figure out, how am I supposed to face these things? How am I supposed to deal with these things? They must make us aware that we're strangers and pilgrims in this life. You know, we talk about this. Here we are, but strangers in a barren land. We sing about it. But have I come to the realization that, Jim, that is your status? You know, from 1962, about July, till January of 1964, I was in Germany. I got acquainted with a young man that had taken an overseas discharge, and he was going to school not too far from Nuremberg. It never once crossed my mind to take an overseas discharge and stay over there. If that first Sergeant Bacon had said, Bailey, you've got 10 minutes to get your belongings together and get on that deuce and a half, it's headed for the Bahnhof. You've got rotation orders. I'll guarantee you, I would have grabbed what I could grab, but I would have been on that deuce and a half. Everything else would have been left. I was not a citizen over there. I had no intentions of staying over there. And that's about the nearest thing that I can think of that illustrates in my life what a pilgrim and a stranger is. Don't get too tied. I didn't have any roots whatsoever in Nuremberg, Germany. So, our trials ought to let us know we're strangers here. We're pilgrims here. We must look at our afflictions as God's chastening. He's training us as a loving father. As my father trained me, as my father disciplined me, however he did it, it was because he loved me. He didn't want a bunch of yay-doos for kids. And he did his dead level best not to do that, not to have them. And I say that in a very complimentary way. Over in Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12. Again, this time in verses 6 through 8. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you illegitimate. Daddy knew that he was our father. All five of us kids belong to him. And he loved us. And he seen his responsibility to chasten, to train, to bring us up. And so, what are the effects of afflictions? It's a training process. It's training. It's a training, and it's also a test. We must use afflictions as an opportunity to evaluate our faith. The next time you're called upon to go through some kind of a heartache, some kind of a trouble, some kind of an adversity, some kind of an economic setback, some kind, let that be an evaluation of your faith. I need to do that. Turn with me if you would.
to 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. Peter said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, and is reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation." Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness. I can't wait to get to heaven. I look forward to heaven. I can't wait to be there. But you know what? Between here and there, there's going to be heaviness through manifold temptation. And how I deal with those things will determine whether or not I get there or not. And he continues, "That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor, unto His glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." I have to allow those afflictions to evaluate my faith. How strong my faith is. I hope the lesson this morning will help us. I hope the lesson this morning will cause us to ponder and to think. We have lived in a society that thinks that everything has got to be good all the time. If there's ever any setbacks, well, something has happened. I don't deserve this. What in the world is going on? We've been raised with that idea. Being a Christian, we're going to have adversities, people. And as parents, we need to impress that upon our children. As grandparents, we need to help solidify that. As adults, we need to learn that. We need to learn that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Do I really believe that? Or is that just something I want to talk about? Something saying that. Hopefully our lesson will help us. As we think about what Paul went through, I can go through. As Paul endured it, I can endure it. Paul's attitude about going to heaven, I can have the same attitude. So what's the exhortation? The passage that we started with, we'll end with. In exhortations, in James chapter 1, James said, "Consider it pure joy." This is from the NIV. "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds." It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to see where we are. It's an opportunity to evaluate our faith. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. How do you know how strong you are until you're tested? You know, all of us, when we were in school, we took tests. You know, there were times that when I took a test, I knew, well, I know all there is to know about this. But, you know, after I took the test and got my grade back, well, I wasn't quite as sharp as I thought I was. And sometimes we're not as strong spiritually as we think we are until we face trials, until we see adversity. And then we use that to measure ourselves. James says in verse 5, "If any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives it generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him." Do you lack wisdom to see this? Do you lack wisdom in measuring yourself, the adversities and afflictions? Ask God, James says. He'll help you. And I would encourage you to do so. There may be those here this morning that have never rendered obedience to the gospel of Christ. If you're here and you've never rendered obedience to the gospel of Christ, you need to obey the gospel. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do you love the Lord? Keep his commandments. His commandments for one who has never rendered obedience to the gospel of Christ is to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Be persuaded. Be convinced. 100%. No doubts whatsoever. Resolve to follow him. We call it repentance. Confess our faith in him as the Son of God. Be buried with your Lord in baptism to rise to walk in newness of life. And when you rise out of the waters of baptism, you have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. But I guess somewhat on a dismal note, from that time till the day that you die, unless the Lord comes back again, the devil is going to do everything he can to get you back into his camp. So be faithful unto death. And the Lord will give you a crown of life when this life is over. If you've done that, but you've wandered away from the fold of God, do what Peter told Simon the sorcerer, repent and pray that perhaps the thought and intent of thy heart be forgiven thee. If we can help you to make your life right, we invite you to come. While together we stand, and while we sing the song, dance with us.
Hear the blessed Savior calling me, O grass. O ye heavy laden, come to me and rest. Come no longer tarry, I your load will bear. Bring me every burden, bring me every care. Throughout this day.